Resh Zayin. So the Ma'amar Shlishi, V'Hachzireinu B'Shuva Shleima L'Fanecha. The title of the chapter is Bring Us Back with a Whole Tshuva Before You. So as in Tziva Shalom HaShiveinu Avinu L'Sarosecha, we say by Shemana Esrei, Return us, our Father, to your Torah, V'Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avodasecha, and bring us near, our King, to your service. V'Hachzireinu B'Teshuva Shleima L'Fanecha, and bring us back with a total tshuva before you. Sorach Levayah, we need to explain Inyan Hashleimus Hanameres Kama Tshuva. What is the concept of totality and wholeness that is said here by tshuva? Shamashmos ki tshuva v'meyucha d'resh Hashleimus. The understanding seems to be that specifically tshuva requires shleimus, requires wholeness and totality. V'rak oz tshuva osa miskayemes, and it is only then that a person's tshuva has a kiyum, and has a an existence. Hine reishis dorish dekach hareka letshuva. So first of all, what is required to understand this is a basis to understand what tshuva is. Al derech kishemetzayim t'muna naderes. By parable, when someone is painting a beautiful picture, even if this picture will end up being a perfect picture, if ein letziras hareka hamatim b'shum oifen ein edavar mushlam, if this picture doesn't have the appropriate canvas, then it will, no matter how good the picture is, it won't be a whole picture. Something, it won't have its perfection. The inyan horeka, and this concept of the canvas, yesh lefarish shehu etzem hakoras lachet b'cholam kusay. The canvas for tshuva, meaning the real basis for tshuva, is the recognition of the sin with all of its depth. That is the base point for tshuva. Ki yetzahara makten meinu achet. The yetzahara makes the sin looks small in the person's eyes. Sheyachshav kilay also ledova shemal bekach. The person thinks, right, what did I do already? The person doesn't understand the depth of the chet. The person doesn't understand the greatness of the understanding of the compromise that has been caused. How much of a separation the person has created between him and his Father in heaven. And what kind of darkness he caused in all the worlds by doing this act of the Avera. As it is brought, the person has to reach a recognition. The extent of the recognition of the chet has to be that the person's view, the person's outlook has to be that that I'd rather die than sin again. That's how That's how severe the chet has to be in the person's eyes.
And that's the canvas before you even start painting.
Right. Ha'idiyah hazois hitchilas habinyan achrei achurban. This knowledge is the beginning of the building of the building after the destruction. Chumam and Amashoyre. As the saying this is the Baal Haredim. Mizbeach evna b'shivrein libi. I will build a mizbeach. I will build an altar with my broken heart, or by breaking my heart. If someone does not merit this knowledge, meaning the knowledge and the understanding of the depth of the chet, then this person is similar to what is written in the Sfarim, that there is one punishment that is more difficult, that is more severe than all other punishments. That world is called the world of Toyu. We spoke about this. It's the world of Toyu, which is a... the nature of the world of Toyu. The Rebbe Meilach explained that the nature of the world of Toyu is that things just go on the way they are. The person believes that he's in this world and life is going on as usual. Forever. Huh?
How would you realize what kind of damage he, so to speak, making by making a sin? Maybe he wouldn't sin.
True. We're talking about now where that happened already, that he did sin. And now he realized.
Now he requires to realize.
Right, so that he says that's the type of recognition that is required.
How can you expect it afterwards? First, he realized it before he wouldn't sin. Maybe he not even able to realize what the depth of the separation.
A person is definitely able. And that's the way the person reaches. Yeah, the way the person reaches that recognition is by learning about it and by just deepening his thought into how great the Rabban Shalom is, and automatically the person will realize how terrible it is to sin before.
Right, you tell a little 5-year-old if you touch the stove you're going to burn your hand. He doesn't know what that means until he actually burns his hand.
Right.
That's how we are in relation to the Baruch Shalom. We don't really know until it actually happens.
Chasr Shalom, we should never experience the burn. But whatever a person's ability is, that is what is required. And the more a person can understand, and the more a person can deepen his understanding into how great the Rabban Shalom is and how severe the impact of the sin is, that is what a person is obligated to do. Take the person that is I don't know if they're rebuilding the World Trade Centers. I'm not sure if they're rebuilding them again. But let's say that someone would start a new project of rebuilding, and it's multi-billion-dollar project, right? And this person will know while he's building that if there would be any chance that this would be knocked down again, right? They wouldn't even consider building it again, right? They're only building it because that before they build it, they're putting all the necessary precautions in place to make sure that that these buildings are not going to be destroyed again. We're not going to invest billions of dollars into rebuilding them if we know that there's a chance of them being destroyed. So when he says that it's tchilas habinyan achra churban, that tshuva is the beginning of the building after the destruction, meaning we realize the devastation of what has just taken place, and we're going to make sure that this is not happening again.
So he said the beginning of it is to feel that you'd rather die than do it again. So I assume he's going to tell us what more there is to tshuva than that?
Oh yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah.
In the relationship between the canvas and your analogy, the building's not going to stand. The tshuva's not going to stand unless the foundation is clean and secure.
Right. The similarity between these two is that the person is investing a tremendous amount of exertion into this project, and they can't afford that this should ever be destroyed again.
As you're falling again.
Huh?
Sometimes it's true, but then you're falling.
Yeah.
But not because
again,
of the plan.
Right. Okay, but at the time of the tshuva, it had to be as strong as this can't happen. This can't ever happen again. So he's getting into Olam HaToyu over here. And he says that someone who does not recognize the depth of the chait, such a person is in a Olam HaToyu. We call it La La Land. It's a world of
what's that?
Sorry.
What's it called? I can't remember the word. It's a world of imagination. So as I was saying, that Ibn Maydach explained that it's a world where everything goes on as if it's real and if it's happening forever.
Well, the person, where does he say that?
It's not.
He said it to his Talmidim. I'm not sure. He said it to his Talmidim. His Talmidim asked him at that time, "Well, how do we know we're not in Olam HaToyu?" If that's the case, if Olam HaToyu is just a world that it's just like that just keeps on going on, how do we know that we're not there? So he said, because Olam HaToyu wouldn't dawn on you to ask that question.
Mahavdil, the very question itself means
right.
You're in
Tikkun. Right. There's another simon is that if you get an aliyah to the Sefer Torah, that's a simon that you're in Olam HaToyu, you're not in Olam HaToyu. It's written as the Svarim say that. So if you're Kal Chassidim, you might be a big Suffolk for a long time.
we're at least a short circuit.
No guarantees.
Oh boy.
Unless there's more than one of you in the shul at the time. You got
about four of us.
Yeah, right.
About four of us.
So then you have a choice of one for that day.
Short circuit. Five.
So if I see you and speak with you, then I know you're not in, then I'm also not in. Maybe.
Okay, there goes your aliyah. Forget it.
What'd you put in that coffee?
Does that include buying auction?
Oh, yes. Can you buy right. yourself out of all of them?
Shahu.
You like that? Yeah, because you can buy yourself out of them.
So Olam HaToyu is worse than Gehenna. Why? Kimishpat Gehenna Yud Beis Chodesh. The worst Gehenna a person can have is for 12 months. Yesh neshama peshas sheyefsha lachnisa oy legehenim. But then there's this neshama that is so farshmutzed that Gehenim is not going to do the job. Venimtsiz v'olam HaToyu. And if the person finds himself in the world of Toyu. And just like during the person's lifetime, he didn't realize what kind of world he's in. And he did Averis with a lack of thought and a lack of knowledge. That is also his punishment, meaning it's measure for measure. You lived your life as if you were an Olam HaToyu. A person lived their life as if they were in a world of Toyu without thinking about what this is all about, without deepening one's knowledge into what life is about, and they lived their life as if they were in La La Land. Person's walking around without any idea of accountability. So that is the person's punishment that he ends up in this world that is just going about without any thought, without any recognition, without any knowledge of what it's all about.
Will that world exist in this world that we're living right now?
No. They say that the Chiddush HaRim once needed to go to wanted to go to Peshitta, to his rabbi, the Rebbe Rabinu, and he couldn't find a balagola that he can afford. He couldn't find a wagon driver that would take him there that he could afford. Finally, there was one wagon driver that had two old horses, and it would take a little bit longer than usual, but he was willing to take whatever the Chiddushim could afford. And they set out to Peshitta, and along the way, one of the horses died. So they made the rest of the way, went a lot slower. And they ended up getting there on Friday, just in time for Shabbos to Peshitta. And as they arrived, the second horse died. So both the Balagola and the Chiddush HaRim both retired to they both went to their respective inns. And Balagola was so distraught over his both of his horses dying that he had a heart attack and he died too. So it was Shabbos, and then once Shabbos they saw the Chiddush HaRim was crying uncontrollably. First of all, you have to know that for a Polish Rebbe to cry altogether is unheard of. But Chiddush HaRim was crying. It was a big pella. Like, it was crying. So they asked Chiddush HaRim what he's crying about. So he said, this Balagola was a very, very poshuti yid. Barely observant and very, very little knowledge of what one is supposed to do. And I just wanted to know. I knew that there wasn't that much that he was going to get schar for. But I wanted to know what the schar was going to be for taking me and forfeiting his entire parnasa and eventually his life for taking me to my Rebbe. So I begged that before I went to sleep on Friday night, I asked that I should be shown what his schar is going to be for that. And I was shown in my dream that when he came up to Shemayim, that this merit was tremendous, and they gave him the choice. He can choose whatever schar he wants. Because he forfeited his livelihood and his life to take me to my Rebbe, they gave him a choice. He can choose whatever he wants. So he said that he wants two good horses with a real strong wagon and a multi-lane road that he can travel on without any potholes or so he should be able to travel uninterrupted. Yeah, that's what he was given, and he's traveling and traveling and traveling and traveling to nowhere. So it's just the worst. It's the worst Gehenna possible, and that's what he chose as his reward. That's what I'm going to tell you. And what he's saying, what?
Flying Dutchman.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is that this is worse than Gehenna, and it's something that that the person chooses out of his own lack of knowledge and understanding and just lack of thought of what everything is all about. It's something the person chooses on his own.
What a depressing day. You're like, I want to go back to bed.
Why don't Baylor Shavetti's cry?
What?
Why don't Baylor Shavetti's cry? I'm stuck on that.
I'm thankful I have that.
Something's so
prepared.
Devastating. What's that? It's so devastating. It's, why don't they cry?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just... so somebody told me in the name of... that he was at a shir of the... What was it? Of Victor Miller. Rabbi Victor Miller said that really Gehenna and Gan Eden is the same place. It's a base medrash without a clock.
Yeah, most Pollock said that.
He said for Tzadikim that's Gan Eden. For everybody else, it's like.
Yeah, how long are you speaking for?
Yeah.
What time is kidding?
It's basically about a clock. Rush.
All right.
For your standing.
So, k'moy chayin, so also, gesh b'chinas ha'inish hazeh gam b'olam hazeh. What? It's about Victor Miller. And you know what I'm saying is that it's just a matter of perspective of what is important and what's not important, and it all depends on a person's perspective in this world to know what to choose as their reward. And yep, okay, so he says, so also there is this einish of Olam HaToyu even in this world. When a person, let's say, reaches these the holy days, the Yom Nairam, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the person finds himself in this world of Toyu, meaning he's all confused. He has no idea what world he's in. This falls into the words of Chazal, Kol Yimei Ani Roim. Chazal comment on the pasuk that says all the days of the poor are bad, and Chazal comment Afilu Shabbos is Yamim Tovim. Even Shabbos in Yontiv is bad for the poor man. Says the Nesiv Shalom, Ein Ani Ela Bedas. When it says all the days of the poor man is bad, it means someone who is poor in knowledge. It doesn't mean someone who's financially poor. He's somebody who's poor in knowledge. Shedata mivulbel. It's me. The person is a confused person. Afilu b'Shabbos v'yom v'nayroim, and even on Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Nayroim, in the Yishuv Adas, such a person these days are no better for him than any other day. Ba'olam kizeh, such a person, eich yasek tshuva amitis. How can such a person achieve true tshuva? Ki gam kishemascharo teboich lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because even when the person regrets and cries before Hashem, ein lo zeshem kiyum, it has no existence. Ki ein lo yasareka shel hatshuva, because the person is missing the canvas for the tshuva. She is bainus ma'amika al goy lachet, which is the deep understanding of the greatness of the chet. Now, really, what I believe is the canvas here, and he's not saying this, is the knowledge of the greatness of Hashem. That is the real canvas. Canvas is a person that has to have an understanding of how great the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Automatically, that is what the understanding of the depth of the chet is. There's no way of understanding what a chet is or what a sin is if you don't know who you're sinning against. So I believe that the first step to tshuva is understanding the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Automatically, the person will have a new understanding of what the chet is. That's what Reb Sadia Goin said. Reb Sadia Goin said that the reason why a person has to constantly do tshuva for the same chet is because a person's understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam has to grow every day. And the greater understanding we have of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so that makes yesterday's tshuva or yesterday's regret of what I've done
not enough.
It doesn't seem enough. I had no idea who I was sinning against. The famous story with Sadi Gun learned this from a story that happened with him. He was in. Oh, here. The Sadi Gun was traveling, and he came to a village where people didn't know him. And he checked into an inn. The innkeeper was a Jew, and the innkeeper treated him very nicely, but not as he would have treated Reb Sadia Goin. The next day, there was a big drosha scheduled in the city shul that Reb Sadia Goin was to speak, and this innkeeper was there among the crowd to hear him speak. And sure enough, it's his guest. He had no idea it was Reb Sadia Goin. And as soon as he finishes his drasha, the storekeeper runs over to him and falls to his feet. I'm sorry, be meichel me, please forgive me. Sadi goes, forgive you for what? He says, the way I treated you. He said, you treated me beautifully. He said, no, but if I would have known that you're Reb Sadia Goin, I would have treated you somewhat with so much more respect. Wow. So Reb Sadia Goin came from that story. He said that he had no understanding of what tshuva is. He says, since we have no grasp of what the Ribbono Shel Olam is, and every day our knowledge grows to, or it should grow, of how great the Ribbono Shel Olam is, so we have to not only do tshuva for our chet, we have to do tshuva on yesterday's tshuva. So, because had we known how great the Ribbono Shel Olam is, our tshuva would have been so much greater. So in every day that has to grow.
This person doesn't have that.
What?
He's in La La Land.
He's in La La Land. Doesn't have that. Right. Yeah, then we can extrapolate
that. By the way,
the
Flying Dutchman does not go forever. Captain Falkenberg is